Hello, everybody. I'm Johnny Calloway, and welcome to Says Who for the Addictive Personality. I am author of Dragons to Butterflies, The Metamorphosis of a Man, and The Bridge Where Souls Connect. And I'm here with my co-host, Aura Nadrich.
Hi, everybody. I am Aura, and I'm so happy to be here with you. I am a certified life coach, certified mindfulness meditation teacher, and the author of Says Who, How One Simple Question Can Change the Way You Think Forever, and the creator of the Says Who method for transforming negative and fear-based thoughts. And that's what we're going to help you do. We are going to help you transform those thoughts that get in the way of you creating the life that you want and deserve.
And on this show, we're going to be talking about the 12 steps, A Course in Miracles, and Aura Says Who method. The main thing we're going to talk about and how all three of those things work together is the power of thought and how your thought runs your life. It creates your life. And Aura's going to tell you how we're going to go about that.
We are going to take these 7 questions that I've created so that you can find out if your thoughts are real or if they're not, and if they're serving your well-being or if they're not. And by you sending us in your questions, we're going to be able to work with you directly so that we can help you use the Says Who method to change those thoughts out to make your life work.
And you're going to be submitting your questions. Each week we will be answering these questions. Let's do it, Aura. Hello, everybody. This is Johnny Calloway of Morph Into a New You, changing minds to change lives. And we have Aura Nadrich here with us today, and we are talking about Says Who for the Addictive Personality. And how are you, Aura?
Hi, Johnny. Good to be with you today. Happy Friday to you.
Always. So today, we're going to talk about what keeps us on track. How do we stay on track? You know, you come into these 12-step rooms, you go into your recovery, whatever you're going into, and you get all these wonderful ideas about, you know, I could do this and I could do that. And then you hit a wall, and it's like, how do you stay on track? How do you stay positive when everything around you is saying, there's not so much to be positive about here? How do you stay on track? Or how do you stay on track?
You know, I want to say that Says Who, as I was telling you, Johnny, I didn't write a book that's a quick fix. I didn't write a book. Says Who is not about putting a Band-Aid over our thinking mind. Says Who is about how to work with our thoughts. And as I've said on many shows, we think thousands of thoughts, maybe up to 70,000 thoughts a day. There's a lot of activity in our mind, and a lot of those thoughts are negative, and they're fear-based, and they're going to come up. And it's just part of being alive. It's part of what I said, the human condition. So we know we've got these negative thoughts, and we're going to have days where we are really feeling low. We're not even on reserve. We're on empty. Do you know? We're going to have those days where we're going to feel like, oh, why even bother? And what I really want to explain is when you're feeling like that, when you're feeling to whatever level of lowness or negativity you're experiencing, everything that we are feeling can be used with to create a more positive result. You can't think positive thoughts all the time. It's impossible. But what I want people to understand that even if you're feeling just flat out negative, you want to give up, your inner chatter, your inner dialogue, it wants to give up, you really feel hopeless, helpless, all the things that we've said. If you can just say to yourself, even when you're feeling pretty low and you're thinking something really negative, like why even bother? If you could find a way to say one thing to yourself and say, I am going to bother. I am going to care. I make a difference. I can make a difference. Even if you don't feel it, even if you feel like you're faking it, if you just say one thing that counters that negative downward spiral voice, whatever that is for you, that you can say, wow, I feel so low. I feel so not hopeful. I feel such despair. I don't even know if I can go on, but I'm going to tell myself I'm going to take one step towards the light. I'm going to take one step towards believing. I'm going to say one thing to myself that is hopeful. We don't even have to call it positive. when you begin to do what we've called release and replace, Johnny, you are telling your subconscious that you want to change that belief. You are sending out an SOS to your subconscious. I don't want to stay in this low point. I want to make a change. Do you understand? You know, we talk about the connecting of the dots. I just really want to appeal to the listener who's feeling hopeless, who's feeling like, you know what? No, I don't feel very positive. So what am I going to say to myself that can support the way I feel? One thought, just change out one thought or tell yourself one thing that is turning a negative into a positive, and you begin a movement towards change. It might seem like a tiny little step, Johnny. It might seem like a little baby step. But as we said so many times before, you find yourself at point A and think you're never in a million years going to get to point Z. And the next thing, you're at point B, and then you're at point D, and then you're at point M. And this is how we take the steps towards changing.
You know, I'm going to treat this like I'm like we're sitting in a 12-step meeting right now. We're talking directly to addicts. And I know the struggle that the addict has when you first come around. And I've watched this. I've been doing the 12 steps for 34 years. Now I've watched this so many times. You come in and one of the first things you hear is do the next right thing. Just do the next right thing. And you do that. And then you got like a cheering squad. Every time you do something, like you worked a full day and you didn't lie to your wife about where you went after work and you just came home, or, and you got all these people patting you on the back, telling you how great that was that you did that and you didn't lie. And then after a while, what happens? There's no cheering squad. You're just doing the right thing because it's the right thing. Mm-hmm. And that incentive seems to wane and it seems to pass away because all of a sudden it's like, well, no, what's the big deal? I worked 8 hours. I turned 8 hours in. But I had a situation once with that where I was trying to mentor and train this guy in air conditioning at the same time. And I was always talking to this kid about the importance of just telling the truth. Well, I got hurt and I couldn't work with him anymore, but he continued to work for the people we worked for and they were lying to him. And he called me one day and he was all distraught. And he said, Johnny, I don't know why I need to keep telling the truth to these people that keep lying to me. And I said, you can't let another person's behavior dictate what your behavior is going to be, or else you will never know who you are.
Right.
So I'm tying that into the incentive is self-respect. What keeps me going is when I get those moments, when I get those feelings of self-respect from doing the right thing, that's the thing that pushes me as an addict to continue to do the right thing, even after the cheering squad has gone home and gone to bed. You know, it's like, I need to become my own cheering squad. Yay! I did the right thing!
That's right. As I said in Says Who, your thoughts should be your cheering squad, not your hecklers. So you can be doing the right thing and you can start to see the results of how you feel by doing the right thing. But we know how sneaky and insidious the thinking mind is. Even when you're making progress, even when you're doing the right thing, you hit one bump in the road, you have not a great day, you wake up feeling kind of crummy. You wake up feeling doubtful, you wake up feeling insecure, and boom, a thought can come in. And even though you've made progress by doing the right thing, even if you don't have a cheering squad, you're going to have thoughts that are going to come up and they're going to try to undermine your effort, you know? And that's what you want to be smart about. That's what you want to be onto. You want to be onto your own thinking mind. You want to be onto your own thinking mind. Even when you're like what this guy told you, he has to uphold what his truth is for him. And the way to support our own truth is to keep telling ourselves thoughts that can bring it out, that can be effective in what we do. Do you know what I mean? It's like, it doesn't matter if everybody's lying back to you or no one's making an effort or no one's mirroring to you your progress or you don't have a cheering squad. You really have to be those things for yourself. Right. So I'm really, today I feel inclined to talk about, what do you do when you take that step back? What do you do when you have that thought that pops up that wants to undermine your efforts, because that's going to happen. That's inevitable. And that's really what I feel inclined to talk a little bit about, how to stay, go back to how we started this. How do you stay consistent? How do you stay consistent in your commitment to changing your beliefs about yourself so that you do change them from negative to positive? How do you stay consistent? How do you stay committed to your truth, to change for the positive? That's the beauty of the Says Who method, because the Says Who method holds you accountable. And I don't mean it in a, there's a finger pointed at you like, oh, I'm holding you accountable. It's making it easier for you to ask yourself the questions about your own negative or fear-based thoughts so that you can stay consistent and they can keep supporting you to honor your truth, to change your beliefs so your life will work for you.
Okay, so I know for myself, in the early goings, what kept me consistent was wanting to be a part of all that was around me, because I was surrounding myself with people that were living right, living good. And that self-awareness that comes from doing the Says Who process, it's like, oh, wow, that was a lie. Or maybe it just wasn't totally honest. So staying consistent takes a desire to grow. I mean,
it does take a desire. That's a very good word, Johnny. It takes a desire to want to grow. And you're making a commitment to yourself.
Right.
You have the desire to make a commitment to you, to the betterment of you. It's standing up for you. It's advocating for you. You got to be your biggest advocate. You got to be your biggest supporter.
I have believed for years, and I still believe it, that nothing changes that isn't preceded with desire. And from desire comes willingness. And it's like a process. It's like, I want to be, like in early recovery for me, it was, I want to be a good guy. I want to wear the white hat. And from doing that, and from wanting that, it's like, okay, if you want to wear the white hat, what are you willing to do?
Right.
What are you willing to do?
But Johnny, when you say that, I want to wear the white hat, that's a thought that you told yourself. That is a thought you were registering to yourself that you were feeling desiring of. Your thought was creating an emotion, and that emotion is what kicks in behavior. And that behavior is what kicks in action. And that action is what kicks in our outcome, which becomes our reality. Do you know? It's like, that's the engine. That's the gasoline. That's what fuel, or let's get environmentally correct. That's the energy that kicks in the motor and makes the motor go. Do you know what I mean? It's like you desire, one of the first things, by the way, that I remember saying when I first became a life coach and I did my first workshop, I said, happiness is a desire away. Happiness is a desire away. Yep. Well, desire is big. And I love that you said that, Johnny. Go for it. Keep going on the desire thing that you were saying. I really like that.
Well, there's one thing without fail that I've seen for 34 years in the 12-step rooms, and that is people that want to get better, that are willing to follow through with things that are important, things that they're being told to do by people, it starts with wanting to be better. All of it. And if you really don't want to, there's nothing anybody can do for you that's going to just give you that.
Can I jump in, Johnny?
Absolutely.
When you want to be better, what kind of thoughts do you think you've got to tell yourself?
Well, part of that.
What thoughts are we going to tell ourselves if we want to do better or to be better? What kind of thoughts do we think are going to support us doing better or being better?
Well, the first response I come up with to that is I can be better. Mm-hmm. Because prior to identifying my desire to be better, I just didn't think it was possible for me. I thought I was a victim to my own fate. I was supposed to be a gutter drunk, and I couldn't beat it. So when I started saying, you know what? maybe I can. Maybe I can. I'm seeing these other guys that, you know, that guy's not making that stuff up that he just told on himself. Maybe if he can do it, maybe I can. And I think with I want to, if I follow that up with I can, even if it's maybe I can,
mm-hmm.
then it opens the door. Does that make sense?
Yeah, absolutely. Yes. The belief that we have in ourselves has got to be supported by the thoughts that keep telling us we can do what we want to do. You know, what you just said before really jumped out at me. It's like you want to be the guy in the white hat. You want to be a good guy. You know, you started to tell yourself things. And to go from where you came from to suddenly start to have different things that you were telling yourself about yourself, which sounds to me like it was jump-started by a desire. And once you identified the desire that you have, you started to tell yourself different things.
Yes. Yeah, absolutely. And again, I think the big thing was I can be the good guy. I can wear a white hat. Actually, in my early recovery, I remember very early on, I went and bought a white hat and wore it just a white baseball cap. And I wore it around for a very long time. But it's a real struggle for me sometimes when I'm trying to help someone, when I identify their lack of willingness, because then I feel helpless. And we do run into that, or you've run into it. I've run into it trying to help others. You run into like somebody just like, I can't believe, you know, I've had people tell me that, Johnny, that's too much work.
I know that they feel that way. They feel that it's like pushing a boulder up a mountain. I know we've all been there, or those you and I have. I can't speak for everybody else, but that feeling that it feels like it is so gargantuan, that the effort is so huge that you just feel like you don't know if you're going to be able to do it. But even if you just switched it out by saying, I will try. You can encourage people to try out a different type of self-talk. That's what I say with the Says Who method. I said, you know the release and replace technique that I have. If I just say to a client of mine that's kind of on the hamster wheel and they're on the negative, you know, hamster wheel spiral, and for everything I say, they've got an answer for it to undermine the effort to try. You know, I say, can you just try and say something different to yourself? And they'll say, well, like what? What? And I'll say, well, how about just saying, I'll never meet my soulmate to I believe it's possible for me to find true love out there. Just try that. Even if you roll your eyes at me, even if you think it's silly or fairy tale-y or whatever, you know, because the mind can go into this dualistic conflict. You know, we want something, what I call and Says Who, it's holding two conflicting thoughts simultaneously. I really want to meet a partner. I really want to meet my beloved, but I'm not very lovable. We do that to ourselves. You know that.
Yes. And I'm going to tie that into the second step of the 12 steps, which is came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. When I'm working with an addict or an alcoholic or both, and I get to that step, I say there's a thing here that's missed with almost everybody. And that is, you can believe in that power. You can. I don't care if it's a universe. I don't care if you call it God. I don't care if you call it Bob. I don't care what you call that power outside of you. Believing in that power is really, really cool, and it's really important, and it's very helpful. But if you're simultaneously thinking, let's say we're calling it God. God can, God can, God can. If I'm simultaneously thinking, I can't, I can't, I can't, that's that dual conflicting thought you're talking about, and it makes it almost impossible to achieve it.
But if you're aware of it, if you can have an awareness, and that's why I say in the beginning of Says Who, how to learn how to be the observer of your thoughts, so that when that thought comes up that says, oh, that's never going to happen. When you start to become really more open to this process of understanding your own thinking mind better, I say you can start to track when those negative thoughts want to come up and they want to wreak havoc when they want to really start trouble for you. And so let's just say you have the desire. The desire is, going back to desire, I would like to meet a partner. I would like to really meet somebody. And then the next thought is, yeah, but, what I call the yeah, buts. Yeah, but, you know, that's probably not going to happen. Boom, catch that. If you can, try. When that thought comes up that immediately wants to undermine and strip you away from the belief of something possible, and that when you are able to catch it, that's when you start to work with it. That's when you start to do the turnaround, the release and the replace. That's when you say, whoa, 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 hold on a minute. There I go. There I go. I'm about to just throw myself under the bus. I'm about to really just undermine my desire, which is that I want to meet somebody. How about I say, I'd really, really like to meet someone, and I believe that's possible. Just start this new conversation with yourself. It starts to have a whole new effect on your thinking mind, where you default to. You know, you're going to default to the possibility as opposed to negating that there is even a possibility for change or for something to happen for you that's good for your life.
Right. And the thing is, and we've talked about this in several of our shows, it's totally about changing my self-talk and my inner dialogue. Because my self-talk is typically, well, this will never work. She won't show up. I asked her to dinner. Is she going to be here? And that is that negative self-sabotaging talk that trips us up every time. So opening my mind to believing in possibilities of whatever. Maybe she didn't show up to dinner, but does that change who I am? No.
Yeah, you know the thoughts that people can tell themselves. You know, she didn't show up. I'm not lovable. Nobody loves me. I'm not worthy of being born. I shouldn't be here. You know, there it goes.
On and on.
You start to go on and on and on like a broken record, and we can stop it. We can stop it. I say stop that negative thought right in its track and bust it. And expose it for what it is. It wants to hurt you. It doesn't want to help you.
And the cool thing is, we're going to need to start wrapping up here in a minute. Man, that went quick. The cool thing is, I don't care how far down you've gone. I don't care how dark your world is right now. I don't care how many times you've been incarcerated or hospitalized. You can change the thinking that took you to those places. Because yes. That's what took you to those places. That's what took you to the jail. That's what took you to the hospitals. That's what took you to the rehab was your thinking. And if you, I don't care how many times you've been, I don't care how far down you've gone, there is a light at the end of the tunnel, and it is not attached to a train. You can definitely find your way back out. And as Aura says all the time, just start by changing one thought.
One thought.
One thought.
One thought. Just one. You know, there's just no excuse for not trying. And I like, truly, I'm going to really go out on a limb. And I've been saying something in this show that I don't think I've ever said before. Even if you don't feel it, even if you feel like you're faking it, even if you feel like you're pretending, when you change your thoughts, when you tell yourself something positive instead of negative, you're telling your subconscious something that it's going to absorb as a belief. You know, it takes its orders from you. If you change I'm worthless to I'm worthwhile, your subconscious, the part of your mind that wants to just absorb your beliefs as true, goes, okay, I got that. Thanks for the memo. Got that. And the next thing you know, you are starting to support the very thoughts that you're telling yourself because it becomes a new belief. Who you were yesterday isn't who you are right now. And who you are right now is not who you're going to be ever again. So be exactly what you want to be. Tell yourself exactly what you want to tell yourself, different than you've ever told yourself anything before. Start with one thought,
one. So I want to say this, as a people, we are conditioned for quick fixes. one of the big reasons addicts end up being addicts is because they can pop a pill, they can drink a drink, they can smoke a something, they can do whatever, and things get different right now. Not necessarily better, but they get different right now. You pop a handful of pills, things just changed. This stuff that Orr and I are talking about, it's not like popping a pill. This isn't something you're going to, this is not some kind of bypass you can take and say, okay, now then I've asked myself the 7 questions. I'm good. I'm all good. It is a process. It becomes a way of life. And if it doesn't, you're going to trip up and you're going to have one more piece of evidence telling you that crap doesn't work. So this is something you have to make a commitment to. And the commitment you're really making is to yourself. It's not to me. It's not the Aura. It's to your own well-being.
Right. And Johnny, to just circle back, because I know we're ending our show any minute, circle back to consistent commitment. Be consistent in your commitment to yourself and start it with one thought at a time. Release that negative thought, replace it with something that's going to support you, that's going to tell you you're worth it. Give it a try. Be consistent with a commitment to you. Give it a try.
Give it a try. Okay, Aura, man, where'd that time go?
I don't know.
Here we are at the end again.
The time flies when you are in the positive zone.
There you
it
go.
It flies, and it flies good, and it flies really good.
Yeah. So you can get me at johnnycalloway.com. You can get Aura at
auranadrich.com.
And you can find us on Mental Health News Radio Network. You can find us on Blog Talk. You can find us at Morph Into a New You. We are all over the place. If you want to talk, we're here. So, and you can also like us on Facebook. God, I always mess this up. Says who for the addict.
For the addict, yes. Yes, find us. Just Google Johnny Calloway and Orrin Adrich. You'll find us.
And thank you so much for being with us, and please keep coming back.
Yeah, talk to you soon.
Bye, Aura. Thanks, Kristen.
Bye, Johnny. Bye, Kristen.